verses 25-30. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you be worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, he will not much more clothe you, you of little faith. May the Lord bless this reading.
Good morning. It's nice to see everybody here. Brandon, thank you so much for that reading. Wes, I appreciate the songs that are appropriate for today. And Kyle, I thank you for your thoughts. As you can probably tell, we're going to talk about worrying. And in preparing for this lesson, I discovered an interesting fact. Do not be troubled. Do not worry. And be not afraid appears 365 times in God's Word. That's one for every day of the year. Seems like God does know what He's doing, doesn't He? Knows this pretty well. One of my personal favorites is Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. Where Moses is talking to Joshua just before he dies. And he tells him, do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. I can see by many of the faces out in the audience, I see some troubled souls. Especially you teachers and students. You're anxious about tomorrow. Why? Well, you just had a fun week off for spring break. Lot to be concerned about tomorrow. Others of you, I can tell. But you're worried about the week ahead. Your job. What problem is facing me on Thursday? So I'm going to worry about it today. We can't help ourselves. Just our human nature. And there's a reason why God tells us not to be anxious about those things. And we'll get to that a little bit later. Now, we all share a common bond in these anxieties. Each worry typically falls into one of two categories. Those we have control of and those we do not. It's a second category which causes the greater stress. And from our text this morning, Jesus tells us not to be anxious. It's good advice. But how often can we actually do that? It's easier said than done. There are many things in the world that trouble us. They usually fall into five basic categories. World strife. That's a good one. Nothing we can do about that personally. So why don't you cross that one off the list? And we worry about our jobs. Well, we have to provide for our families. Clothes, food, housing. Concern there. Of course, family and children. Well, isn't that just being part of a parent? Number four, our health. Fear of our mortality. We won't be here forever. And finally, well, look at that. Number five, a big fat question mark. The one constant that these all share is they are relative to a separate situation. No two are ever alike. Now, the first four concerns are givens. Those will always be with us. It's the fifth one that we most often stress over. The unknown. Life is full of surprises. We all know that. Life threw us a big curveball, didn't it? In 2020 with the COVID pandemic. It's not the fact that we have worries in our life. It's how we respond to those worries. Anxiety is the greatest weapon in Satan's arsenal. It steals your happiness. It prevents you from being contented. It can rob you of your health and your peace of mind. But what's most concerning of all? Sometimes that anxiety can cause you to doubt the power of God and what He can do in your life. Satan used anxiety against Jesus many times, causing Him to become deeply troubled. At the tomb of Lazarus, where He wept. In the temple, when He asked if He should pray, "Father, save me from this hour." During the Last Supper, when He announced someone was going to betray Him. And in Gethsemane, where His soul was crushed with grief. Jesus was not immune from Satan's weapon, and neither are we. But He didn't let that anxiety break Him down. It's how He responded that we can all take a lesson from. He knew God's power allowed Him to face those worries with confidence. Not doubt, not stress. Confidence in what He can accomplish for you. But there's a caveat. You must allow Him to do so. Now, Satan is in control of the world for now, and he delights in each time that we're consumed by worry. And I believe that's why God gave us that daily reminder to remain steadfast in our faith, ease our burdens. I mean, look at it. We worry when our children are sick, when we're traveling, where our job is, and the challenges they present, other worries of everyday life. But listen to this carefully. That's not the problem. It becomes a problem when we borrow tomorrow's troubles today. Anxiety causes high blood pressure, other heart-related issues. And a long-term study of 4,000 men revealed two surprising facts. 138 of them died of heart attacks on a Monday morning, while only 5 died on a Friday. The study concluded that the anxiety of the week ahead led to undue stress and may have contributed to those 138 heart attacks, with the Friday results yielding only 5, indicating a much lower anxiety level over the 138. Matthew 6:34 tells us, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow is going to bring its own troubles. Today's trouble is enough for today. And the following words from Job 5, verse 2. To worry yourself to death would be a foolish and senseless thing to do. So why worry about the future now? Just as Moses told Joshua, don't be afraid. God's already there. As I said earlier, it's the curveball that life throws us, which often gives us the most troubles, the most problems. But how often are those curveballs created by our own design? Me. We build a lot of worries without ever realizing it. Case in point. Don't be worried. This is about me, not anyone else out here in the audience. It's my senior year of high school. And because I twisted off as a junior and flunked Algebra 2, guess what? I'm a half credit short of graduating. Didn't give that a thought. As a result, I had to join FFA, Future Farmers of America, take ag class so I could get that extra half credit to graduate. Now, ag class, for those of you who are not aware, requires a project for that entire year, which counts as half of your grade. Now, most students select an animal for their project. It's no problem for me. I grew up working all kinds of livestock with my uncles. But it's time-consuming. And Wes will tell you, it's hard work. But guess what? It's my senior year. I'm supposed to party and have fun, not study. So I opted for the easy way out. I decided I'm going to plant 2 acres of turnips. It's an easy and low-maintenance crop to grow. Right, Lawrence? Now, Debbie and I attended South 6th and Palm Church, and we had a couple there, Ma and Pa Street. Now, those of you who have grown up in a small congregation knows everyone has that couple who serve as a grandfather and grandmother to everyone. And Pa Street graciously allowed me the use of some of his farm. I worked for 2 days, borrowing his equipment, tractor, diesel, plows, drills. And I drilled those turnips. Sweated for 2 whole days. When I left Paul's farm that day, I never looked back. As I said, it's an easy and low maintenance crop. I'm not going to have to do anything. I can enjoy my senior year. And I did enjoy it. Didn't have a worry or care in the world. I was fixed to be free, both of school and my parents' rule. Until that final 6 weeks, when Mr. Colson, my ag teacher, announced that our project was due in 5. For 5 long, agonizing weeks. Talk about turning yourself, making yourself sick by worrying. I had been turning in false reports all along to Mr. Colson, my ag teacher. All of the time and labor I was spending on my project, I didn't break the 8th commandment. I smashed it like Moses did when he broke the tablets. For 5 long, agonizing weeks, I sweated bullets, imagining all sorts of doomsday scenarios, from my father beating me half to death to ending up as a bum in the back alley somewhere. But then, guess what? A miracle happened. A miracle. We had a killing freeze that lasted 2 days on that 5th week. My turnips were dead, and I was saved. So as I handed in my final false report to Mr. Colson, I explained to him what had happened. And he responded with kind words. He said, "Mike, that's the life of a farmer. Totally dependent on God and the weather." Now, one would assume that's the end of my story. But like Aesop's fables, there's a moral that comes along with mine. It's 8 years later. I'm married to my beautiful wife, have a secure job with the Postal Service. And then comes that curveball I told you about. Paul Street passes away. Our church family is devastated. After the funeral service, we're visiting with the family and other church members, and excuse me, who should I run into but Mr. Colson, my ag teacher. Guilt consumed me at that moment, and I knew what I had to do. So I went up to Mr. Colson, and I confessed my bogus project, and that I apologized for doing so. And again, he responded with kind words. He said, "Mike, I know you only took that class to get that extra half credit to graduate, and that your heart wasn't in the project." So I asked him, "Well, how did you know?" He said, "Well, Paul Street's farm is next to mine, and we meet in your turnip patch to weed it every day and visit." Busted. And it's just like Jesus said it would be. For all that's done in secret will eventually come to light. But it also proves another point. God not only looks out for women and children, He looks out for the foolish as well. The point I'm trying to get across to you is to stop creating your own worries. Hey, life is going to give you plenty. There's a Christian artist I like to listen to named Jason Gray. And he wrote a song about a time when he was broken down with worry and anxiety, ruining his health. It's called Sparrows. His inspiration, of course, came from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And these are some of the lyrics that I reflect on when I'm anxious. You can't add a single day by worrying your life away. So don't worry your life away. You can't change a single thing by freaking out. It's just going to close you in. Don't let the trouble win. You may feel alone, but you're not on your own. If he can hold the world, he can hold this moment. There's not a field or a flower that escapes his notice. Even the sparrows know he holds tomorrow. You don't know how hard it was to speak those lyrics without me actually bursting out in song. So you're lucky. But I said earlier, God had a reason for telling us not to be anxious. And by now, this should be painfully clear to everyone. It's found in Peter's first letter. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. From chapter 1, verse 8, though you've never seen him, you trust him. Then the reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your soul. But it's the words from Jesus that give us the most comfort. John 14, 1, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and also trust in me. From that same chapter, verse 27, I'm not leaving you with a gift. No, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot. So don't be troubled or afraid. And from his prayer of thanksgiving from Matthew 11, 28. Of course, it's very familiar to all of us. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. The first step in easing your burdens is, of course, what we're just now reading. Turn them all over to God. The second step is something you can do to help yourself. Two daily reminders that I would love for you to learn how to recite every morning. The first thing you arise and begin to start that worry, recite these two phrases. Jesus is always with me, Matthew 28, the Ascension, and I only have one thing to do today, follow him. The rest is going to take care of itself. Now that we've looked at how to lessen our worries, guess what? Time to discuss the elephant in the room. The one thing we all should be worried about. Judgment Day. Missing out on eternal life. Remember what Jesus told his disciples? No one knows the day or the hour this is going to happen. So, wow, there is some cause for concern for those who have not been baptized. We don't know when it's going to happen. Another case in point, my sister. When my mother and father and I were baptized, she didn't go along. Then come Wednesday evening, she decides to make that commitment and be baptized. Brother Wayne Wallace said, hey, let's hold off until Sunday when the whole family can hear and witness it. She said, what happens if I die tonight? She took care of it right then. Cause for concern, as I said. But that worry can be taken away this morning. The only thing that's required from you is a commitment. Or maybe too many troubles have got your life mired down right now. Whatever your needs may be, Wes is fixing to sing the invitation song. Won't you come, please?